You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number three of Mino and the Mayor here, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS, and of course the Civic Media app, and along with 1100 AM and 1590 AM on your AM dials. Todd, if somebody lived on the lakeshore, like Manitowoc-ish, Two Rivers-ish, they should be able to pick this up on the AM, right?
1590, I think, could probably come in pretty well over there. Yeah.
And in Manitowoc.
And if not, the Civic Media app. Download that thing on your phone. Right. You can listen to us wherever you go.
Right. And in Manitowoc, like you said, probably the AM is a little stronger than the FM down there. But our friend is playing down there. Kevin?
Van Ness?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that.
He's playing at the...
To the PAC?
Well, they would like you to call it the PAC. It's actually the Capitol Theater. But it's they're performing arts.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice theater, too. I mean, they've done a great job with that. And he's playing Friday night. And I just want to give a little shout out. He had sent something to me on that, and they're teaming up with. It's at 7:30 at the Capitol Civic Theater in Manitowoc. It's the Lakeshore Big Band, which is an awesome big band, of course, from members along the Lakeshore in Manitowoc and Two Rivers. And they're teaming up with Talk of the Town, which is Kevin's band, for a New Orleans trip down Bourbon Street. And I don't know if you've seen Talk of the Town or the Lakeshore Band, but that walk down Bourbon Street is high energy. It is much fun. And they get out there.
If Kevin's involved, what is it high energy?
But they'll throw the beads. And it's just, you want to get into the spirit or have a fun night.
You ever been at the actual Mardi Gras?
No, I haven't. No, that would be fun.
Yeah, I'd experience it one time just for the sake of experiencing it.
I think everyone's down there just for a good time.
Absolutely.
And
you don't hear of many problems.
Huh?
You don't hear of many, do you?
Well, yeah, I think I had a little issue this year, but
I know, but generally...
Parents went down there when I was a little kid, so that's...
Although, you know what Kevin told me last time when he was here? I said, we were talking, I said, was I dreaming or did Al Hurt get hit by a bottle? But to me, he says, well, it was a brick. And he said that really hurt his career from then on, and like Pete Fountain kind of took over as the top dog.
Mm.
Something along those... Yeah, I mean, that really hurt him.
And I know Kevin's led that parade down there, and he's got that gold vest, and he's a showman. I mean, that guy's a great musician, but he's a great showman.
When I die, two things. Here's what I want. Two things. I want like a New Orleans funeral where they're
going
and they're dancing in the street, doing the horns and the things.
Oh yeah, and hold them up in the air where they're like really celebrating. Yeah, that'd be cool.
But I also want bagpipes.
No, that's the only one. That's so sad. Yeah, you celebrate your life. Don't be so. Bagpipes are. Do you think there's a happy bagpipe song?
Yeah.
Which one?
There's a lot of them.
You only know one. I don't know.
A lot of happy bagpipes.
And that drum is like that somber boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
It's the cadence.
Yeah, no. That's not. No,
I
no.
think.
I'm getting Kevin at mine. I just think I'm going to have a party. So.
All right.
Although I'm going to outlive everybody, so I guess I shouldn't.
All right. Just saying. Just throwing it out there.
That's Friday at the Capitol, 7:30. And that's going to be a great time with the Lakeshore Big Band and Venice, Talk of the Town. So anyway.
Very cool stuff. A lot of great stuff coming up. We're talking, of course, we talk about the draft a bunch. Do you want to talk about a special event you're putting together?
Sure. I can't tell too much about
that.
Well, we talked about it, I think, at one time. So the NFL draft is right around the corner. And when I talk to people, they're like, is it really going to... Because there's just not enough...
buzz.
It's not like a game. We're going to tailgate here.
I mean,
here.
There's buzz, but not a lot of concrete type things yet.
Where is the buzz?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a buzz, but specifically, what are you doing? I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, there's a couple things I know that you and I are doing. One of them is Bellin is working with some nonprofits, so we're going to be at their healthcare facility, which is behind Kroll's. Opening night, and that's going to be just to celebrate the nonprofits, and that was an invite only. But more on the public side, you and I are going to be working with the new community shelter. the Booyah Battle. The Booyah Battle is on Friday from 10 till 1, and it's downtown. They're going to be closing Washington Street, and we have a booth, and the booth is huge. It's 15 by 26, and our friend is
Steve,
our chef.
Buddy Steve will say, we go way back.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, and Steve is, we've talked to him, and you want to get a great Booyah chef because there's an art to that.
No question.
And there's 12 people.
All Booyah is not created equal. Nope. It's just not.
And he, when I talked to him about this, he's like, I've been in 3 contests and I've won them all. So he's very confident.
Yes.
And then, you know, the donations to make the Booyah have been coming in. And yeah. You know, people are so generous in this community.
Yeah.
And I think I just really hope that we get a lot of tourists. I mean, people from Green Bay, of course, we want there. But, you know, I would love to see a lot of jerseys from the other 31 teams.
Well, a lot of people probably have never tasted Booyah.
Right, right. So it's this contest, $3 a bowl, $20 for all the Booyah. You can go to all the booths, and you're going to be there. And our entertainment in our booth is going to be John Mino. And
singing.
We want people to come in and stay.
Huh?
John, as many of you know, has an unbelievable, like, savant talent for knowing where quarterbacks in the NFL went to college. And like many of us, we think that's useless information. However, John has made money on this. He's built a career.
Right? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's built a career on this. So he is going to be in the booth.
And it's not a great career, kid. Wouldn't recommend this path.
But when people walk by, they're wearing their Lions jersey or their Chargers jersey. We're going to say, hey, come on in here and try and stump this guy. And they're going to put some money down. And if they stump you, then they're going to get double their money back. But if they don't, we get to keep their money. And that would go to the new community shelter.
That's awesome.
It's going to be fun having you there. And I talked to our board of directors yesterday. We had a meeting. And that's very unique. That's going to be fun. And it fits the day, right? I mean, it's football, yeah. It's drafting, and these guys went to college, and you say you know it all. I don't know who's...
But we could also bring my son Dom out, and you can do the same thing with Saints. Who's the patron saint of yada yada? And he'll be Saint Stanislavski or somebody. He knows everyone of the Saints.
Do you think the NFL draft clientele is... going to be, we got the audience for you.
No, I'm just saying, though, it's like, I got this weird thing. He's got that same trait.
So we could
that
be
the same chromosomal thing.
So, yeah. So we could do Stump the Minos.
Yeah. But let me think about that. So that's a big day. But after that, I'm going to be at Heritage Hill.
Oh, yeah. You got to leave early.
I'm going to be moderating a really very important type thing. It's a gathering. It's open to the public at Heritage Hill. And it's a public forum type thing with speakers. Dave Robinson, former Packer linebacker.
That's awesome.
A lot of big-time type people in the know are going to put on a little presentation. I'm going to moderate it. And it's try to get more public awareness to try to get Jerry Vinici into the NFL Hall of Fame.
And tell people who, John, he just didn't get the recognition he deserved.
Well, because, you know, there's Vince Lombardi. You
know, I mean, he was in the shadow.
Kind of grabs the spotlight. But Jerry Vinici was Vince Lombardi's right-hand man. Mm-hmm. Absolutely right-hand man. And he recommended all the draft picks that Lombardi selected. And 13 NFL Hall of Famers, 13 guys are in the Hall of Fame that Jerry Vinici brought to Green Bay.
Had an eye
it's
for that.
It's unprecedented. Unfortunately, he died at 33 years old from effects to rheumatic fever that he caught in the Army, when he was in the Army, and died at 33 years old. So he died right before the glory years, but yet his players that he brought in were the reason we had the glory years. And we're trying to do a thing with all the big-timers from the NFL in town. We're trying to get more public awareness of what Jerry Vinici did in with the Green Bay Packer history. They don't even have him up on the Ring of Honor, which is a crime.
They have a statue, though, that you and I both were there for the dedication.
Yeah,
that's in the
across
corner
the street.
Well, on Lombardi and Ridge.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the Walk of Fame, and he well-deserved, but what's the goal? Is it just an awareness, or do you really want, you want him on the Ring or the Hall of Fame or both?
Hall of Fame. Okay. Well, either one. The Ring would be great in itself.
Right.
But, let's put it this way. I mean, Ron Wolf led the rebirth of the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. There's not joking about that. But he drafted a lot more Hall of Famers than Ron Wolf did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, that's, and you're right about he was overtaken by
glory years. Bart Starr, Paul Hornung, Jim Taylor, Ray Nitschke, Forrest Gregg, Willie Wood, Herb Adderley. Yeah. I can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Jerry Vanese drafted one of these people.
Yeah, he deserves.
He deserves it. Yeah, so we're doing a thing at Heritage Hill that day. I'm going to be leaving your thing at noon.
Yeah.
That starts at 1, okay. 1 to 3, basically, at Heritage Hill. Hope you folks, I'm going to have a lot more information on that coming up, hope you folks can be involved.
You can do both. I mean, come down to the Booyah Fest from 10 till, leave at 12:30. Your thing is at 1 o'clock, and the draft is back at 5 o'clock.
So absolutely.
You've got the day to enjoy some football and some Booyah. But there's a few more things we have to work on, because I want my dance card filled up, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
No question.
I don't want to just
Okay, I got to stop you.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. Have you ever used the term dance card?
No.
Okay. Mm. I didn't think so.
I heard that in Lawrence Welk once. You know, Sissy, she had her dance card full.
And the one, and the two.
Hey, Bobby, when are you two getting hitched? You make such a nice couple. No? Okay. I don't know why.
All right. I want my dance card filled up.
What is a dance card?
Yeah, what is
who
that, Jim?
Who are you going to dance with?
Oh, so you have to, back in the day,
but
was
you'd
there
actually
actual
write
card?
It down?
Yeah, you got your dance card. Yeah, I'm going to dance with you and then her.
Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Anybody ever used
Bueller.
That?
Bueller. Bueller.
Blanco.
Oh, he's sick.
All right, whatever. Okay, I'm going to have my schedule. How's that?
Did people really used to have, like when you walked into a dance, would they hand you a card and a pencil? And what would you do?
I don't know if you would be at home and say, this is, can I put you on my dance card? Call somebody and. I don't know, John. I'll look into
it. Well, you can't throw a term like that without knowing the history.
I didn't think I was going to be thrown under the bus.
Who do you think you are, me?
All right, I'll do a little research. I'm actually having lunch with my mom today. She's 92. She'll know what dance card is. So that's what I'm doing today.
Outstanding.
And then I'm going to see the president of the Chamber of Commerce in Appleton just to talk about, more things that we can do in Appleton.
Yeah.
It's a great market for us. We love the people there. But I could go see the mayor, but I think the chamber knows a lot about the business side. And that's what we want to promote the nonprofits and the businesses. And I think she's going to be very helpful. So I'm seeing her, but first I'm having lunch with my mom. So anyway, yes, I will have a full report for you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Todd, it does sound like your dance card is pretty full, Jim. I'm just saying.
It is.
Todd, I don't think that's too much to ask. Do you?
No.
Huh?
No.
Todd?
Okay.
We got Senator Craig Reich Biden, the mayor. We've got a great, great guest coming up. Jim VandenHeuvel, Vietnam veteran.
Awesome.
What do you hear about some of his experiences? We're devoting this whole day to veterans. Back after this. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road, I'm gonna make it home. I got me 10 forward gears on a Georgia overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide. I just passed a Jimmy in a wine. I've been a-passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WGB.
I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide.
Six days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
The white pills, yeah.
Baby, goodbye. I have a lot of ladies, but I'm not like some of the guys.
Oh, all right, so
Lord help us.
I know, right?
Hold me tight.
Yeah, he's Jim. Do you know anything about
Tone 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Jim, we are so sorry, Ted, to put you through this.
Jim VandenHeuvel. Jim, today we're honoring the veterans because Saturday's a big day. It's the
Vietnam Veterans Day.
And we couldn't think of a better guest to bring on. You shared your story with us last time. We're gonna talk about that again. But how are you doing?
I'm on my third bout with cancer, and it's in remission, and I had it in my bone, and I've been getting two shots, a shot every 3 months, but I eliminated one of them. I go in Friday and get tested again. I get tested every 3 months, so
Do you think any of that was Vietnam related?
Yeah, Agent Orange.
We're just talking to Joe about you know, just, I don't know, there's so much that should have been done that, but you're getting some help from
them. Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
which is good.
I'm with, through the VA, they're very good at what they do and take care of me really good. So
do you go here?
Yes, in Green Bay.
Isn't that nice we have that?
Yeah. Yeah, very nice.
Man, those poor old World War II guys used to drive up to Iron Mountain in the winter.
Or Milwaukee, yeah.
Or Milwaukee. Well, yeah. Milwaukee's not bad. It's four lane, but back in the day, it was two lane in terrible weather driving up to Iron Mountain.
Yeah, that was long overdue.
Oh, yeah.
But it's great to have that there. And great
for sure.
Jim Vandenhoevel, this is our veteran salute. Nate Olson with Olson Legal Group in Berlin and Oshkosh. He's a great sponsor of us and great sponsor. He's an Iraq veteran himself, wounded in Baghdad. He sponsors our veteran salute, great legal group in Berlin and Oshkosh, and just an all around great guy who's helping Jim and I in our quest for physical fitness, because we're in his office, Jim, last week, and he's got like a treadmill at his desk, so he stands and does all his work while walking on a treadmill. So we're trying to get a couple for in here so we can sit. But still move our feet.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, yeah, they got...
It's called shuffling.
They got some of those.
Good.
But what he has, Jim, and the desk, you know, goes up and down.
Right.
So he stands...
Pushes the button.
And then the treadmill, he can set different paces. And he can read... He does a lot of real estate, does a lot of contract work, but he... I don't know. He just reads.
Wow, on this fast pace.
I can read for a couple hours and on this pace.
I think it's not a bad idea, but I have to be honest with you. If we did this for you guys...
Yeah.
Jim, this is what it would sound like.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? You don't know that. What if we could lower the pace a little bit? Yeah.
We got to go to break. Yeah.
That'd be like waiting for the trains to get by.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay. Todd, don't you got something to do back there?
Yeah, let me get to work.
All right. Hey, have you ever seen two people that look more alike, though? If Todd grows his beard back out and wears his skull cap, the way like Jake does from Door County Veterans.
Boy.
Have you ever seen two people that look more alike than
those
two?
His brothers.
I wish I looked more like him, right? Go to the gym. And,
yeah, oh, my God. Is he
birth
built
a sheep or whatever he did this morning?
Jim, we had a veteran.
You ever pull a sheep out? You're a farm boy.
Yeah.
Weren't you?
No, we didn't have no sheep.
Okay. So we had a veteran on this morning, and he shows up at 6:25. He has to be on at 6:30, and he's like, oh, sorry, I'm late. It's like, well, you're not late. You're a little bit early. He goes, but I was
up all night.
I was birthing a sheep. That's what he did.
Oh, yeah.
He pulled a sheep out of like a another not a cow, another sheep,
okay.
I guess.
Okay. Another sheep, not a cow.
No, Jim, just so we're clear, he did not pull that sheep out of a cow.
I grew up in the hood.
That was not on his dad's card.
Oh, man. That's a promo waiting to happen.
Absolutely.
Isn't that something, though? This guy's got a veteran's farm, and he's just an incredible asset for veterans and for people. He's just a great example. And I just,
right.
Jim, that's something we were talking about with the Vietnam vets. You guys did not have a lot of social community support. You guys had to do it all yourselves. And because of what you Vietnam vets did, that inspired others down the road. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. Yeah, that's true. I think the biggest thing is that Vietnam veterans came back and they never let any veteran be disrespected after that.
Exactly.
Right.
That was the greatest thing I did.
It is.
And you don't let Iraq, Afghanistan, deserts, you don't let those guys and women come back without being honored and recognized.
Correct. Right? Correct.
And with, you know, the United States just didn't do a lot of stuff right in that war. Just a lot of things. But the reception home was one of the worst things. And, you know, it was people like you that led the way for better receptions.
Right, right. I think I credit all of Vietnam veterans for doing that. It's unbelievable what they did. I know when I came home, it was a struggle that it was like I didn't belong here when I got home. And I really struggled that first year. I wanted to go right back right away because it wasn't the same. You know, it was different.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like I didn't belong at this. You know?
Well, one of my guys, Chuck, who's a great, great, great friend of ours, and he admits it. He says he came back and all of his friends seemed really immature. So they wanted to do was drive around.
Imagine that.
And he just came back from being in the jungles with the Marines facing unbelievable life and death situations. And it's like you can't just unwire that back to what you used to be, correct?
Right, right. I thought, you know, looking back on it, I thought I needed to unwind. Probably 30 days after I got back, I should have been at a military base unwinding and trying to get myself back into the reality of the world. You know?
And I really feel bad for you, although you really turned it around. I mean, you became very successful in your business and everybody loves you. But to not feel part of something is, whether you're a teenager or you're, when you came back, 24 years old or 60 years old, if you don't feel part of it, that's, that loneliness can trigger very, very bad things.
It still bothers some Vietnam vets to this day yet, and they don't want to talk about it. And, you know, I try to get them to expose. I guess they'll talk to other veterans more than they'll talk to any individual who never served. You know, there's no way that you can express upon somebody that hadn't served what you went through. There's no way you can explain that.
Right. And even if they say, you know, I feel your pain, they don't. You know what I mean? Because it's...
Right.
That story you shared with us last time, like, I don't know if I could take it again. I mean, it's unbelievable what you guys have gone through.
Yeah. I got to share a story when I was... when we went on the Return to Nam trip, I got interviewed by Jeff Glore of CBS World News, and we were at the place where the war ended, and he says, Jim, this is where it ended. What is it like? What are you feeling right now? I says, the war ended, but the final chapter hasn't been written yet, not until all the POWs and MIAs are home with their families.
Yeah.
I said, that's when it's over. That's the final chapter.
We're going to send her a quick break. Writing. This is our veteran salute, Nate Olson with Olson Legal Group in Berlin and Oshkosh, which is a very great friend of ours and very great spokesperson for Vietnam vets, Jim VandenHeuvel. Back right after this.
About the Feather River Canyon and climbing the old grapevine. That old roadhouse down in Texas and the girls they've left behind. You've heard their tales of daring, and I think that's just fine. But if you can spare a minute, well, I'd like to tell you mine. There'd be no truck drivers if it wasn't for us trucks.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here at 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM, WISS, which is where the Milwaukee Brewers going to be on for opening day today. 1:30 broadcast on WISS Brewers at the New York Yankees. We're spending this entire day talking about veterans and veteran causes and some of the ways we can help veterans and kind of a little bit of a smorgasbord here on our dance card. Jim, when did you first start going to dances?
The term dance card, that's common.
Dance card?
Yeah.
I never heard of it.
Ring him.
Man, okay, let's move on.
Jim VandenHeuvel, our special guest. I like him even more. Hey, Jim, obviously your first year back was tough. From Vietnam.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people will. And I'm going to be honest, there's no secrets. So many guys told me they kind of got lost in the bottle for a few years.
Right, right. I think I did my share of drinking during that time too, but I had some good cousins and I had some good relationships.
For support.
For support.
You needed that.
And I got in sports and bowling. They started a bowling league in Freedom and I got my cousins and started bowling and then baseball, touch football and all of that stuff. And
but you need that stuff, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, you needed that.
Well, then when did you get into the electricity?
I was in that already.
Oh, you were in that already because you went and started your own company. I mean,
I started with, I had an apprenticeship. When I got back, I went into my apprenticeship and that was a 4-year apprenticeship. And then I served that. And
I think that's, everything you just said, though, is so important.
Yeah,
you know, even the bowling, right? I mean, just you got to, but if you sit alone and you start drinking, and it's just, that can be a spiral that can be very, very dangerous.
Oh,
and we've
talked
to some people in here and I've talked to some people where I work. So I think that's a good example of what you just said about getting some family support, but you got a job. I mean, and it was a respectable.
Right.
That's a good job you had.
Well, yeah, you had to maintain that job and that was going to be your livelihood. So you had to hit the books and study and get through that 4 years of your apprenticeship.
So you had some direction.
Yeah, right. And, I didn't want to give that up, you know, I mean, and then I went on and get my master's license. And then I, later on, as I got older, I had a business and then I sold it to the employees. But I had license for inspection. So I took all the tests and I was a certified building inspector for commercial building heating and ventilating, construction and insulation and so on. So I had a lot of degrees or a lot of license that I carried.
It's great when we can. When one guy can do all that.
Right.
So you send in the plumber, you send in the electrician, you send in the contract, the building inspector, and it just takes time, whereas you were...
I did it all. I did the plumbing and everything, too.
And so. What number on the list would Jim be in regards to the number of people that hinted around, can you do some side work for cash?
He did. Well, you did work for me.
Yeah, I did.
He wired my building for $30,000, but it wasn't that much.
Well,
you want to bet? That was a good deal. We needed everything brought from whatever 220 to whatever. You guys knew I didn't know what I was talking about.
221, whatever.
That's the way they But I.
Your rent went up so high.
But I love what you said. Nope, I sold all my equipment, so nobody can ask me to do anything.
Anyway,
Jim, when you
came
back,
that's the only way out.
Absolutely. Right. Did you ever, if somebody said, hey, Jim, I haven't seen you for a while, did you say you were in Vietnam, or did you kind of keep that below the surface to talk about Vietnam when you first came back?
When I first came back, I buried everything. I mean, you first talked about it a little bit, but... I bet you 10 years at least, I never said a word, I never even brought it up or anything. And then it wasn't until I went to the first 1-1 Cav reunion, and that was really emotional, and it's like, holy cow, And I think I took a year off, went back, and now I never miss it. And actually, we got a reunion in San Antonio, Texas this year in October, so I'll be going to that.
The birthplace of the first Cav?
No, the birthplace is in... in St. Louis, it's...
I thought it was Texas for some reason.
No.
Okay.
They are stationed at Fort Bliss in Texas.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. That's where they are now.
Right.
Okay. Can you tell us the story? Can you relate the night you spent alone in Vietnam, which I think is one of the scariest... I mean, I've talked to guys, 100 guys, 200 guys in battles, but being alone in Vietnam in the middle of the jungle is the scariest thing I've heard, because guys have told me that's their number one fear of being alone in Vietnam in enemy territory. Can you relate that story?
I think the thing that saved me was my faith. Yeah. I mean, you go through all those emotions, you're going to say, this is just not fair. I got 23 days left and I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to get home. And you're mad at everybody, and you finally come to the realization that, hey, this is what I'm dealt. I got to deal with it. And how am I going to deal with it? I knew I couldn't stay awake all night. So I just said, Lord, I turned everything over to him, and I fell asleep, and it, when I woke up, it felt like I was only asleep for 15 minutes at the most, but it was 8.5 hours. It's like a gift. I don't know. I got a free gift. I got a free chance at life.
Do you ever think what might have been going on all around you without them knowing you were there?
I guess that's the thing, it's like, was I dead or what happened to me that I don't remember the rest of the night? I just, it's like I wasn't alive. I mean, was I breathing or what? Or was, I guess I won't know that until till the end of time,
When you found out that your guys couldn't come back for you, what can you describe that feeling?
That was, oh, shit, here we go. I mean, it's like, I thought about, well, maybe I should try and go out to them. And I figured if I went out to them, they'd probably shoot me.
Right.
And the chance of me finding them would be next to nothing, It's like, so.
Well, the last thing you want to do is go wandering.
Right. And I had a radio and I could have called, but I knew if I used that radio, that would signal, if the enemy had a radio and was monitoring that radio, they'd know I was there alone. Yeah. So I stayed quiet. I didn't say a word until the next morning when daylight was, and I just listened.
How did that sunlight feel?
Oh, it felt great.
Hey, that's incredible how you slept. And I don't know how that was a very deep sleep. And I don't know if you died, but you didn't
Thank
move.
Thank God you didn't snore loud.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was just going to say that. You didn't move around. You didn't yell.
One position on an army cot that I took off the tank just to sit on during the day. And then I had a little canopy I could put to get some shade. And I just laid on. There's no way you could sleep on your back all night for 8.5 hours.
But you did.
But I did.
And so, you didn't move.
I didn't move. I didn't move an inch. I didn't move a finger or nothing.
Somebody
you
could have walked right by, within feet of you, and you don't. And had you been awake, it would have been worse.
The worst part is, if they killed you, okay, they killed you. The worst part would have been being dragged away.
Right. Ugh. Right. I knew I wasn't going to be taken as a POW. There's no way that I was going to allow myself for that to happen. You know, that was the last thing that I would ever allow.
And you know, another thing, Jim, we talked about, not to get into the bad situations, but these young kids that were over there, how easily, and this is the number one thing, I don't know if I'm trying to sound whatever, but how easy it is to be killed. Do you know what I'm saying with that, Jim? It's like you can be doing the most innocent type thing, and out of the blue, boom, you get killed.
Right. It seems like the most innocent guy gets killed. There's guys that can walk through with tons of bullets and never get a scratch, and the most innocent guy gets killed. You know, the weirdest thing, this happened to me last week on Tuesday. Went to church in the morning, came home, and I looked at my cell phone. And the first picture on my cell phone was my closest friend in Vietnam that got wounded, and then he died 3 months later. And he was on, and it's like, wow, what is that about? You know,
wow.
What is he trying to tell me something?
How did that pop
up
on your phone?
Yeah.
Out of the blue?
Out of the blue. Wow.
And then you were telling me about was it a lieutenant or somebody that got off the tank? Can you describe what happened? Just so people know what you guys went through. When people say, why didn't they just forget about it when they came back? Tell us reasons why you guys couldn't just shut it off, Jim.
Yeah, our young lieutenant was a super guy. I truly believe that he would have made it up in the ranks to general. And very educated. But he was on the back of a PC along with the forward observer for
and
artillery.
A PC is?
Armored personnel carrier. And the gate was down. And all of a sudden, and I was laying on the back. I just got up, and I moved to the back of the tank, and all of a sudden, a round came in, and it hit right on top of the gate, and he was, like, 6 inches away from where it hit both of them, and they both got killed, and that was it. And then the reality is, like, oh, what did I get myself into, you know?
And you're, what, 19, 20, 21?
I was 19 then, yeah.
Yeah, you know what the funny part is? It's like when some kid is 19 and he's like a freshman in college, like, look at this kid, the poise he has, and he's only 19.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
The world is a great place when you're 19 and you're successful. You're 19, you're a freshman, you would have been a freshman in college just out of high school, and you're dealing with things like that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the military, obviously, I went in the military at 165 And when I got out of basic AIT, I was 185, but none of it was fat, I'll tell you that.
Right.
Wow. Another one, though, Jim, the guy that got off your tank to, like, direct people or something, and a one-in-a-million shot, what happened to him?
Yeah, the guy that took place of my closest friend, he was up on the dike, and I was coming around with the tank, and then I was waving to him, and he was waving to me and smiling, and that was the last thing I remember, because then I got blasted with sand. And I couldn't see for a while, and then when I got my vision back, I noticed that he wasn't up on the dike. So I said, the platoon sergeant came down and says, everybody all right down here? And I says, yeah, but the guy up on the dike, he's not up there anymore. And he went down, and then he took a hit on the RPG, decapitated him, and then that RPG hit our tank, and that's what blew the sand in our face, my face, or whatever.
Again, 19 years old.
Right.
You go through that for a year. And then it's like you come back and it's like, oh, forget about that.
Yeah.
Well, and you can almost see why people turn to alcohol, drugs, loneliness. You know, I mean, it's just.
Or support that if they didn't have
what
your support.
You need support. Right. You got to have strong family support and you got to have a strong faith in order to survive it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, you know, when we're talking about that, and we don't talk religion or politics. So, you know how it's always. But there is something you told me when I interviewed you for my book. And I've been trying to think. You said you had a little bit of a mantra you kept saying over and over again. And it was something about when Jesus was in the desert or something. What was that again you kept saying all night long?
It was the agony in the garden. And I started laughing. And I'm talking, now I know what Jesus went through, you know. Yeah. And I said the same prayer that Jesus said. I says, not my will, but your will be done.
Yeah.
I mean, you just turned it over, didn't you?
And turned it over. And that's it. I think I said it about probably five times. And that was it. I was out.
Wow. That's like an awesome story.
I got goosebumps.
It is. I just think, you know, wow. I think you, as they say, dodged a bullet, but wow.
Well, Jim, we're going to be talking more about this. We're going to send a break in just a couple of minutes. But the first thing I want to say is thank you for what you guys have made such a difference for not only the young vets coming back, that welcomed them home in a way that was totally opposite of the way you guys were welcomed home. And I think, and we were talking, and Joe said it's 17 right now. I've heard 20, 21 suicides. But you guys have prevented that. And I'm not joking. I'm not saying that lightly. I think you guys, you Vietnam vets, what you did to not just sit back, you guys were aggressively forward. It's like, we don't care if you want it or not. We're welcoming you back with open arms. I think you saved lives by doing that.
I hope so. I hope so.
There's no doubt. Jim, you paved the way. I mean, you guys did, and I think we're much better as a country.
Right, right.
Because of the Vietnam vets?
Right,
right.
Whoever thought back in 1969 or something, you'd be saying that, huh?
Yeah, that's for sure. At that time and day and age, it was not a good thing to say.
Wow, isn't that something? Jim Vandenhoevel, Vietnam vet, veteran salute, Nate Olson with Olson Legal Group in Berlin and Oshkosh. And Vietnam Vets Day, is to be honored them, is coming up on Saturday, which is a great thing. But you guys find a way to honor Vietnam vets every day and all vets every day, which is awesome.
Correct. Thank you.
You got it, buddy.
And you're so involved. Well, we're going to go to break, but you're so involved. What needs to happen yet? We'll talk about that when we get back. I know we talk about housing. We talk about some counseling. We talk about, you know.
And who's going to pick it up when you guys decide, okay, I'm moving to Florida and chilling on the beach. Who's taking your places?
Right.
We need to know that. We'll be back with more. Our Vietnam Veteran Salute, courtesy of Nate Olson, Olson Legal Group, with Jim Vandenhoevel, right after this.
Sixth of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
No toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4. Cause we got a mighty cowboy rocking through the
night. Quiet, everybody.
Let them sing, Jim.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
Okay. Cut it, Todd.
All right, 10-4, Big Ben. What's your 20? Omaha. Belly off of what's been them hogs out there for sure. Well, mercy sakes, good buddy. We're going to back on out here, so keep the buttons on your glass and the bear.
Why did you give it to me earlier, Todd?
Because you would have sang.
Wow.
Here's your 20, Todd.
10-4.
Jim Vandenhoevel. This Jim had some really good questions heading into that break.
Well, Jim, you've continued to stay involved with veterans on so many levels, and you're actually a big wig, right? You're flying down to the...
I wouldn't call myself a big wig. I got out of those. But I am for our VFW Post 7692 in Freedom. I'm the service officer, which I've been helping veterans get benefits, you know, so I'd work, find out what their problem was and direct them in the person to go to talk to, and how they can qualify for benefits. We got lucky, and we're getting a new service officer, and I volunteered to step down because this guy has the availability. He was a veteran service officer, so he has availability to go in and look at their records and give them better help than I could give them, because you got to be certified to do so many things.
But is there something that's... wasn't there 10 years ago that's there now? What do we need to do as a country, as a community? Because
to keep it going.
Well, we talk about housing a lot, and I deal a little bit with that. Homeless veterans, there's just no excuse for that, none, but it's there. But just wondering from your perspective.
I think it's continuing education, whether it be in the schools or just at events, Memorial Day events, Veterans Day events. I know... I always have a Veterans Day Mass at our parish, and I always give a little short talk about it. And I think that, and just being available, we do try to get the public involved with what we're doing. That's what our goal is, to try to get the public aware of what we're doing, and then take it from there. You know, but it is a struggle. I mean, we're talking about that constantly. Who's going to take over for us?
You know, I will say this. School people, teachers, administrators, whomever, they've done a very good job. I've had numerous Vietnam vets say, not going to talk. People don't want to hear it. And then their grandkids will be like, hey, our teacher's looking for a Vietnam. Were your grandpa? He said, please, grandpa. And they would go, and it's like, these kids are so innocent. You know, they don't have any preconceived anything. And the questions they would ask, it really opened up a lot of guys. That helped, didn't it, Jim?
Yes, that helps tremendously. I think that's one of the big things that we got to promote more and make people aware of it. And it's so easy to forget, you know, but now we got to talk to them about the Afghan vets and the Desert Storm vets.
But I think if people read and hear, these kids may see it as fiction. And all of a sudden it's like, wait, you were there? And that takes it to nonfiction where they can really... And you can hear, I've been to those things with Johnny too. You can hear a pin drop when you guys are talking.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they're interested. And it's hard to explain. I mean, the kids are young, but you're trying to enlighten them as to what really happens. And you're hoping that they understand it. It's being involved in government. It's being involved doing your civic duty, wherever that may be. Whether that be serving the community in some way, shape, or form, or whatever.
Right.
You know, one of the questions that these kids ask, and I've seen it several times, but I still almost get like goosebumps when it happens because you never know what the reaction's going to be. When some little girl or some raise their hand and says, sir, were you afraid? And boy, the different emotions that can come out with guys from that question, right, Jim?
Were you afraid? Yes. From every morning you got up, you didn't know if you're going to make it up right. The next day, make it through the next day, or make it through that day. So the question is, you had to kind of laugh it off. The guys around you, your buddies, you kind of joked about it, you know. That's the only way you could do it to keep your sanity, you know. Yeah. Otherwise, if you worried about that 100% of the time, you're never going to be able to do your job. You had to get that out of your head, you know. If it happens, it happens.
But that's such a wonderfully innocent question
and a real question, but like you said, you need a clear head. You're defending
right,
not just yourself, you're defending our country, and to not have it cluttered with fear. But I couldn't
you
do
have
that.
To react to
right
to what's happening. You have where there's a action, you have to react to it. And what do you do to counter it? You know,
you gotta be able to flip that switch real quick,
right. You do it without even thinking. That's a thing, you know. A lot of guys talk about fear, but when you're in the fierce of a battle, you don't even know it. You don't even feel it. You just do what you
were
trained to
yeah.
do, you know.
And that's good training. When you go back, they say you go back to your instincts, and if your instincts are the training, that would supersede anything else. So, yeah, right.
Well, Jim, we're going to be wrapping it up here. Give me 30 seconds of your mission, what your mission is and everything you've been doing for our veterans.
Well, I've been promoting veterans as much as I can being a service officer, helping them get benefits, and encourage when I talk to veterans, encourage them to get help where help is needed, and just serving the people, serving the veterans in any way that I can possibly help out.
Keep it rocking, my friend.
Good man.
You're a great man, Jim. Jim VandenHeuvel, Vietnam veteran. Thank you, Nate Olson, Olson Legal Group, Berlin, Wisconsin. Nate, a Purple Heart recipient in Iraq, and very, very passionate about helping our veterans in every way. So thanks to all our great guests today. Jake VandenPlas, Door County Farm for Vets. You are awesome. Gail and Kim Knorr, Veterans First, Northeast Wisconsin. Keep going. Fight that fight. Joe Alec, Brown County Veterans Services Office. Give him a call. And Jim VandenHeuvel, Vietnam veteran, joining us right here.
It's a great day, right? And Saturday's the true day, but I mean, we just honored all of you today. This show could have been 10 hours. This has just been a great. I've really enjoyed this. Yeah. And I think our listeners have too. Thank you for being part of it.
I think a few days we did hang around for about 10 hours.
So did I.
I think I got to ride home some of those nights. We covered a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy, thank you, buddy.
Okay.
Thanks everybody for being here. Todd, great work putting it all together, brother. Back in tomorrow morning. Minor the Mayor. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.